The Constitutional Court, the apex court, handing down that judgment today, dismissing former President Jacob Zuma's application to have the contempt of court judgment against him rescinded. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Send me a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567, or you can tweet me at Mandy Wiener. Again, a majority judgment and two minority judgments, the apex court ruling, Zuma did not meet the requirements of a rescission application and sought to reopen the merits of the contempt proceedings, which had already been disposed of. In other words, he didn't participate in the beginning when the court was hearing the matter, but then he tried to give reasons when he brought this fresh rescission application. So the court was having none of that. The order made in the majority judgment, the two dissenting judgments were by Justice Leona Turon and Justice Chris Jafta, that same split again. The dissenting judgment effectively found that Zuma's imprisonment should be dismissed as the correct procedures weren't followed and Zuma did not have the right to appeal, as would be the normal procedure in a criminal trial. That's the minority decision. The majority decision by Justice Sisi-Khampepe found that the Constitutional Court previously found that Zuma was in contempt of court after he ignored that order to appear before the State Capture Commission. So Zuma's lawyers had argued that a litany of international laws were violated. And remember, he's only served 2 months of his sentence because he was granted medical parole. So let's have a listen to Justice Sisi-Khampepe handing down that judgment this morning.
This is a relatively straightforward matter. Mr. Zuma has met neither the requirements of a rescission in terms of Rule 42, subsection 1A, nor the requirements of one as governed by the common law. Mr. Zuma is seeking to reopen the merits of the contempt proceedings, which have been disposed of already. And it is contrary to interest of justice to recall that matter to life by expanding the grounds of rescission and reconsidering the judgment and order handed down on 29 June 2021. It is unfortunate, to say the very least, that Mr. Zuma failed to bring the submissions with which he now arms himself to the Constitutional Court before we reach this point. For all that can be said is that the predicament in which he now finds himself is not the making of the courts, nor does the solution lie with the courts. The hands of the Constitutional Court, the hands of the Constitutional Court are bound, and Mr. Zuma himself bound them. It must, of course, be emphasized that rescission is an avenue of legal recourse, remains open, but only to those who advance meritorious and bona fide applications and who have not, at every turn of the page, sought to abuse judicial process. On a conspectus of all of the above, the conclusion of the majority of the Constitutional Court reaches is that this application falls to be dismissed with cost. The second judgment, penned by Jafta J, with Jaron J concurring, finds that the issue for determination is whether the motion procedure followed when Mr. Zuma was convicted and sentenced complied with Section 12, Subsection 1B, which guarantees the right not to be detained without a trial. The second judgment interprets this section and concludes that it requires a trial to be held before an individual may be detained. Since here there was no trial, the second judgment concludes that the detention was invalid as it was inconsistent with Section 12, Subsection 1B of the Constitution, unless it constituted a reasonable and justifiable limitation.
Justice Sisi-Khampepe handing down the majority judgment there. 7 justices in a favour, 2 dissenting, and nothing unusual about that. It doesn't mean that the Constitutional Court is broken. It's encouraged for justices to dissent. So let's speak now to reporter at Eyewitness News, Teto Makhlakwana, who was watching that for us. Teto, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time. Some, let's say, creative language used by the majority justices there.
Good afternoon, Mandy. But of course, it's not unexpected that, of course, the language is that intentional when delivering a judgment of that importance. And today, I mean, some of the words that are probably going to be ringing in our minds for most of the day and over the weekend, it was like litigious skullduggery. The Constitutional Court basically said that is what former President Jacob Zuma had resorted to do because he elected to be absent during those proceedings and then comes back and tries to get back through the back door and say, no, actually, you prejudiced against me by virtue of me not having been there. And they use the word, he used the law creatively. They say he creative use of the law is unacceptable at this particular stage of those proceedings. Many also saying that they cannot tolerate this manner of litigious vacillation. And of course, that is the point that they raise, that it's not in the interest of justice to, of course, grant that decision request that he was then seeking. As they outlined just how expensive one must prove their case and how valid such a case should be when granting that kind of order.
And Teto, the implication of this in light of the medical parole decision?
Mandy, I think that's the biggest question because a lot of people have been asking throughout the day, but does it mean that this particular sentencing is then moot given the fact that he's already on his way out of the medical facility, you know, where he was placed while in prison? And the answer is no. And this is on the basis of the fact that we know there are three organizations, among them, of course, is the Helen Friedman Foundation and the DA, which have gone and said they are going to approach the courts, and some have approached the courts already to launch applications where they want that very decision of his medical parole to be reviewed. And of course, they have already written to the Correctional Services Commissioner as a phrase that to say, can we please provide them with the reasons under which former President Jacob Zuma was granted this particular medical parole. And you wrote, Mandy, you know, just over a week ago that this issue of medical parole is so problematic because of just the history that we have as a country around it, that something so legitimate had been reduced to being doubted because of cases like those of Shabir Sheikh, where despite having appealed to the medical parole board that he is dying, he still lives to this day. And of course, without knowledge of what exactly the circumstances that led to that decision are, one can never really take it just on the basis of what they say that indeed he qualifies for that particular extension.
Well, Teto, thank you so much. Teto Makhlekwana, Eyewitness News reporter, having a look at that Constitutional Court judgment today. Let's get some reaction now from the Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson, Mzwanele Mani. Mzwanele, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time today. What is the response of the foundation to the Constitutional Court judgment?
Good afternoon, Mandy, and your listeners. Well, look, this judgment is almost 3 months late, so that on its own is a travesty of justice. So we believe that justice delayed is justice denied. Having said that, this judgment, if you look at it, it was only about two things: the rights of human beings enshrined in the Constitution versus the dignity of the court. The court has decided to take it upon itself to say the rights of His Excellency President Zuma as enshrined in the Constitution are competent to be waived. And they've waived those rights, and they decided that it's more important to prioritize the dignity of the court. So indeed, we continue to think that it may very well be the final decision, but we agree with the minority judgment that this decision of this court continues to be unconstitutional, continues to violate the constitution of this country. We're actually astounded by the fact that the court goes out of its way to say, when the Constitution is very clear on Section 39, Paragraph 1, that tribunals must take into account international law. Then you have the Concord that says it's not obliged. Now, what does it mean for all other international treaties that this country has? That you have international treaties that are not only international treaties that the country has signed, but those treaties have been domesticated into the South African law. And you have a situation like that because Article 9 and 14.5 of the United Nations Covenant have been domesticated on both Section 12.1b and Section 35.3. They've been domesticated, those sections, but you have the Constitutional Court that decides that they're not obliged by this. Let me finish the point. They're not obliged by this. That does not inspire confidence in the rule of law. It creates arbitrariness. It creates disrespect for the Constitution. It means the Constitutional Court is operating above the Constitution. So we're very disappointed, although it was not unexpected, because riding hot shots over President Zuma's rights has become norm in this country.
The majority ruling used the words litigious skullduggery to describe the behavior of former President Jacob Zuma in this matter, saying that, well, he should have participated initially when the court gave him an opportunity to do so. What is your response to that?
I mean, even the language should tell you something. If you have a court that's supposed to speak with decorum and then uses words like skullduggery, I mean, in the judgment itself, there were words like recalcitrant. Now you've got skullduggery. It just shows the anger of this court, that this court continues to be emotional. This court continues to be angry. So why would anyone respect the judgment of angry people? These people are very angry. I mean, why would the highest court of the land resort to such foul language of skullduggery? Where's decorum? Where's collegiality? Where's common decency? How can a 79-year-old man be referred to as some skullduggery for a simple thing, for an administrative thing of a contempt? This court has dismissed an application of people that have been murdered, like Colin Khosa. It decided that application must be relegated to the High Court. When the DA brought that application that involved the pandemic.
Ms. Valiele, I'm sorry, but we are pressed for time, and we can't get into that argument right now.
Relegated them, but the point is, you have a court that continues to act arbitrarily, a court that decides that the rules that are there must be put aside so that it can go into arbitrary grounds. So although we'll implement the decisions of the court, but doesn't mean we accept it.
Okay, before I let you go, how is former President Jacob Zuma? Is he still in hospital or has he been able to go home?
We will not announce that. Probably tomorrow we'll announce whether he'll be in court or not. Okay. But as to his departure from hospital and all of that, we're on record saying we will not make that public.
All right. Ms. Wanele, thank you very much for your time. That's Ms. Wanele Mani, the Jacob Zuma Foundation spokesperson, reacting there to the Constitutional Court judgment today. He says that it is emotional, that judgment. What are your thoughts on what Ms. Wanele Mani had to say? Send us a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567.